Hello, everybody. Welcome back once again to another episode. If you haven't seen that podcast, I'm Isaac.
I'm Alva.
And this is the show where we cover movies on that growing list of films that has people asking us a question.
You haven't seen that? You were a little late on that.
I'm sorry. My bad. You know, professional and whatnot. And I'm still getting caffeinated. Everybody knows this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't figured it out by now, those who are listening in the future, and I always say it again, you can also watch us live streaming. Not now, because now you're listening in the future, but people are watching live now or watching now in the present. But that's
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like it's their present, but you're fast. Whatever. Anyways, we're covering Wicked, this phenomena of a movie that hit theaters as of this recording last week. It's taken audience by storm. And so, because I'm not much of a musical person, I don't hate musicals. We've went to go see Mamma Mia. I enjoyed it vastly. I have a musical on my favorite movie list, but though we've argued that is it actually a musical when they cover songs?
I don't think so, but we saw Mamma Mia, so we're good.
Yeah, okay. Which is right, because it also covers songs. So because I'm not inherently a fan of musicals, they're lower on the list of things to go see. I'm going to hand the hosting reins over to my lovely wife, Elva.
Yes. I guess I'll take the reins from you.
Take it away.
All right. Wicked. Wait, before we do anything else. Oh, shoot. I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind. Just kidding.
Yeah, hosting's a little hard, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's third time doing it. I hate it.
And now you're doing it live.
Yeah.
Don't disappoint the audience. They'll unfollow.
Oh.
Continuing on, we are talking Wicked.
Wicked.
Elva's talking Wicked. I'm just joining in on some of the conversation.
You're also conversing because you did see the movie with me. So it is a teamwork, but I am taking lead on most of this.
Handle.
All right.
Handle.
So before this, that was my question I was about to ask. Did you know of Wicked?
Okay, so I was peripherally aware of Wicked. I knew what the story generally was about. I knew it was... I thought actually that it was like an origin story of Elphaba, the Wicked Witch.
Okay.
What I didn't know that it was going to be the true telling of her story. That like the main Wizard of Oz story is like propaganda, which I love that take. I love this take. We'll get into it. But I didn't know anything about other than it's her side of the story. That's it. I knew none of the songs or whatever because you're like, oh my God, the song Gravity and Popular. Like none of it's phasing me. It had to like slowly grow on me.
Okay, so I knew of the musical.
Mm-hmm.
I did not ever have a chance to see it, whether it was in New York or when it did come to LA. And I still, unfortunately, will not have the chance to see it because people like to resell. And resells are very expensive, as we just saw right now.
Yeah, we were, as we were like prepping for this, we were looking at the tickets for Pantages and... Unfortunately, it's out of our price range.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Wicked is directed by John Chu. It is starring Cynthia Erivo as Elphaba, Ariana Grande as Glinda, and I believe that's, I'm just going to leave it as that.
Yeah, the two
Because
main
I
leads.
Feel like anything else may give away some stuff, unless you already know it, but I'm going to leave it as that.
Well, Jeff Goldblum as the Wizard
the
of
Wizard,
Oz.
The Wizard, yeah.
Michelle Yeoh. Michelle Yeoh is so powerful. Quick quiz.
Mm.
What other, what's the director's name again?
John Chu.
What other John Chu feature did he direct Michelle Yeoh in? Just a quick quiz right off the top.
It's something that you like, isn't it?
I liked it, yeah.
Is it Everything Everywhere All at Once? No.
No.
A musical?
No.
Oh.
Crazy Rich Asians. Great movie, by the way.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
Such a good movie.
Oh, there's a second one coming out. Yeah.
Crazier, Richer Asians?
I think so. That might be the name of it. I don't know. Anyways, going back to this. Let's see. So before watching this movie, I know there was a lot of press going on, a lot of some spoilers here and there, especially with scenes in the movie. I know they try their best just to keep it as simple as possible, but that was very hard. And it was very hard for me not to see things, especially because of how I curate my social media algorithm.
You're really good about that.
Yeah. So having this, it was very hard to just like scroll, but I did give in and I started watching the interviews, and I'm kind of happy it did because it kind of prepped me a little bit, because once Ariana Grande was casted on it, I didn't know how I felt about her being this character.
Glinda. By the way, you sent me some of those interviews, and screw you for not warning me that if I'm in my feels, I'm going to cry at every fucking interview video that you sent me.
I was not even in my feels, and I cried, okay? God. I know this movie was going to make me cry from the beginning. I just knew it.
I just didn't know this movie was going to be have like the political backgrounds that it had, and I didn't know that it was going to be for... Actually, kind of didn't know it was going to speak for me, too.
Well, did you know that somehow this was like somehow had a backstory with Wizard of Oz?
What do you mean a backstory with Wizard of Oz?
I mean not a backstory. There's like the before and then like...
Oh, the timeline you sent me.
Yeah.
No. Other than just like I thought it was an origin story... You sent me a thing that broke down the timelines of Wizard of Oz and Wicked. And I was like, yeah, we got this. And then there's a second part of Wicked, because this is part one. And my fucking mind was blown. And I was kind of mad that I was like, oh, I spoiled it for I wanted to experience that in the theater. Shit.
Yeah. So if anyone's looking out there, go on TikTok and look up Girl with the Whiteboard, Wicked. Explains it very simple, but very detailed at the same time. So yeah, I try to go in blind, but those interviews are very hard. Mm-hmm. So happy they don't give anything away. But I will say Ariana Grande did grow on me, and she knocked it out of the park.
By the way, I love Ariana Grande normally.
Yeah.
I don't follow her music, but I just love her. She's adorable. She's funny.
But once I found out like her and her backstory with Wicked and everything, like she went to go see Wicked as a kid, and that was with the original cast of, was it Christine Chenoweth and...
Idina Menzel?
Yeah. And she got to see... she got to meet Glinda. After seeing those interviews and everything, it kind of made me warm up to her a little bit more because she understood Glinda from a different perspective.
For sure, yeah.
And especially her being like a theater kid and how she played that role. It was amazing. And Cynthia Erivo knocked it out of the park as well.
So as far as the two top casting is concerned, and I did see on some like trivia and fun facts that everybody in these roles had to try out for these things so that it was fair. Because there were some other people that wanted... Who's the actress that wanted to play Glinda?
There was Dove Cameron. She auditioned.
She'd been good.
Yeah. Amanda Seyfried.
That one.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing that I think that the reason why Ariana Grande is our Glinda, I'm going to go through these things, is because you weren't familiar, dear, that she was so freaking funny in, I forget the Nickelodeon show, but she was...
Victorious?
Again, I don't know. I don't watch these things, but I just, I've seen clips and stuff like that. I was like, dude, she's hilarious. And so she's able to bring that comedic timing into this particular role. And when you showed me and I was going down the rabbit hole of like the Broadway musical, because I'm like, wait, Glinda, the good witch, the good witch, right? You're like, what's so funny about that? And then you see how she's depicted in the play. And I was like, oh, Ariana Grande is the Glinda that we needed.
Well, not only that, but she also did the show Sam and Cat.
That's
in Nickelodeon.
That's the one that sounds familiar.
But Victorious was the one where she had more of like the ditzy kind of role in a way. And she kind of played that within the same as Sam and Cat.
She's always played ditzy.
But anytime that she does get a role and stuff like that, even with like the SNL skits, she's been on SNL multiple times. And she is great at imitating, not just like Celine Dion, but like there's like, if you look her up on SNL, there's like all these other things that she's really good at imitating.
She was hilarious on SNL. Everybody do yourself a favor and go check out Ariana Grande on SNL. My fucking most favorite bit on SNL now is with her as the castrato.
Oh yes.
They're talking about how they had to like castrate him. She's playing him and they're like, twist. And she's like, Oh yes.
Yeah.
Go watch it.
Even though it was like the most like minimal that for that character.
There you go.
Still. But she was really good.
So comedic timing for sure, Ariana Grande. Mm-hmm. And you know, the movie's called Wicked. So like the main focus is the Wicked Witch is Elphaba. Again, I knew jack crap about this. And I didn't know that I seen Cynthia Erivo and a couple of other things. Was it Bad Times at the El Royale? I never seen Harriet. There's another one I know I'd seen her in. Anyways, point being is I cannot see anybody else playing the role of Elphaba. Saying that she just killed it, like, is not doing her justice. Is not doing that justice, because she was a powerhouse, not just with her performance, but like her singing was, God, fantastic. And it was that balance of, like, you know, the singing was for you mostly, although I do enjoy music, but the thing with musicals for me is, like, I want that balance, and this movie had that balance. Specifically, any Elphaba moments where it's emotional and she's vulnerable, I am right there along with her. Again, I could not imagine anyone else in that role. I've spoken.
The urge that I had to fight back to sing, I was just like, I cannot, because no, I can't. Like, it, we did see it on Thursday, I think the one of the preview nights before opening night, and luckily the crowd, the audience in there was very polite. Everyone there wanted to see Wicked. No one was on their phones. No one was on anything, which I appreciate. But there was a moment where I did go ahead and look over at you. And it was a moment in the movie where something happens and I, like, geeked out and I look over at you and I'm just like,
the cameos?
Yeah. Like, I had to, like, look over because Rachel and Rudy were in between us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, get your attention to me. But the fact that I was even more happy because the girls who were sitting next to you, they were like both like freaking out and like hitting each other. Like, it, I was like, oh, this is it. I'm like, I didn't bring my tissues. Well, I didn't bring nothing. I'm not prepared.
I'll tell you this much. So everyone who's already seen the movie knows what we're talking about. And everyone's familiar with the Broadway play. There are some very obvious, not obvious, but I guess it was obvious to me because within the context clues, I knew at least one of the performers, and I was like, isn't that so-and-so? And I go, oh, they were the originals? Got it. Because it was very, like, you know, focus on them. A real nice, a little, you know, tip and a wink.
So, yeah. So that's fun. Yeah. So that was one, even like for certain songs as well, I was geeking out too, and I couldn't like throw anything at you because it was just impossible.
And it'd be rude as hell.
But yeah. But I'm just like, I was lucky enough to sit next to a girl who was geeking out next to me because she was hitting her guy.
Yeah.
I can tell, like, maybe he was just there for her, but he was enjoying it too. But like, it was like me and her, like, we should just turn to each other and just done the same thing because it would have worked better. Before I went, I had to refresh my memory on a little bit of it. And I had to go look up on YouTube the Wicked play. And I know it's like Wicked Slime or something, like a slime tutorial. And that's how you have to find it. I had to stop myself halfway through because I was like, I need to go into this even more blind. I already know everything, but I'm like, I can't rewatch it. I want to like just enjoy that moment.
So did you watch the musical part one and two before seeing this?
So the musical is the length of this movie.
Which this movie's length is 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah. That was another thing that I didn't know how the director was going to do this. I already knew it was going to be a two-parter.
You were telling me that it was a two-parter, and I completely forgot that you told me. So as a movie intros, it opens up, and it's Wicked, which I love that title card. And then it said part one, and I looked over. I was like, what the fuck do you mean part one? Nobody told me this. You're like, I told you.
Yeah.
I never listened. If we don't have a microphone and headphones, I'm not listening.
Yeah. So kind of happy with that because I felt they would not do justice on this movie if they just left it as a one-parter. If it was just like the whole movie was just like beginning to end of it, I felt like it would not be doing it justice and it would be rushed.
Oh, great point. Yeah, no. So we saw it with the Morenos. We saw it with Rudy and Rachel. And afterwards, I was like, dude, I didn't know it was going to be like a two-part. He goes, do you really think they're going to fit all that musical into one movie? To which I replied, good point. 2 hours and 40 minutes. I'm not usually one to complain about the length of a movie unless it feels like it's a long movie, even if it is like 1 hour 30 and it feels long or whatever, vice versa. I didn't mind the 2 hour and 40 minute. Like I just said earlier, like I wouldn't mind. I'm down to go. Well, we said offline, but I'm down to go see this movie. I really do want to go see this movie again this week if we can.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Let's go tomorrow. I'll get tickets right now.
Well, we got podcasts to edit and stuff like that, but we're gonna see it in the near future. But no, my point being is that length, the runtime didn't bother me at all. It felt so packed full of everything. There's no filler scenes or anything like that. And it did feel like an actual complete movie. So when the Hype Attack and I covered Rebel Moon, the one thing I was irritated about was that that movie was advertised as a two-parter, but it literally felt like it was a full movie split down the middle. Meaning, it didn't feel like an actual conclusion, which is annoying as shit. This movie, though, although it was a 2 hour and 40 minutes, it felt like it properly told that first half of the story needed to tell and left you on a really cool high note, pun intended. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, you know, of course you're like, I want more, which is great. You know, I wasn't like, oh, fucking bullshit, I want more. No, I was like, dude, I want more. I was happy with what I had. Let me digest this. And then I'm going to come back for part two, which is, when the hell is that dropping?
Next year, November 2025. So here's the thing. It's already filmed.
Okay.
Already filmed.
Okay, I'm calmed.
So it's just releasing next year, 2025. I think November 21st.
I got real. I'm panicking over here. I need to see part two, Alva.
Oh my God. No, but the other thing that I really enjoyed about this movie is they did their own stunts.
Talk about that.
Okay, so there is a scene towards the end. That's the last scene. And
Defying Gravity?
Yeah, Defying Gravity. And she...
The big musical number, Defying Gravity.
She has to go in the air and stuff. And she is harnessed. And she is singing. Because throughout this whole film, like the whole making of this movie, they were live singing while they were recording this whole thing.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often in mm-hmm. musicals. One of my favorite musicals, Across the Universe, did that, where you're live singing and it helps capture like the moment. It's a challenge because there's the imperfections and stuff like that in there, but
no, they were live singing. So she is going on this harness and she's tumbling and everything, and she had to learn how to basically sing within this harness, and it was just powerful. And let me just tell you, I sobbed because I'm a big crybaby as it is, but I was crying, didn't care who saw me. And even when, also as well as Galinda, when she was doing the popular scene, and there's, you know, she does her own little thing, she also did that herself, and she had to learn to do that. What fun fact, where she had to, the first time they ran through the whole popular scene before filming it, she almost kicked the stunt coordinator in the face, but he remained calm, and they just did the whole scene, which was amazing. And for her to just do that, you just see this little girl just getting, basically just jumping out of bed and just doing this whole little thing. And I'm pretty sure that little scene is everywhere on TikTok, so I'm not really giving much, or anywhere on basically social media, and the trailer as well.
I mean, other than like the cameo, I don't really think there's like much to spoil because, you know.
No.
But this is why, like, I threw the reins over to you as far as covering this, because I was like, well, you're a musical fan, and I would imagine, usually my, like, regular audience as far as, like, the forehead films and reviews are people that are kind of, like, reluctant to go see a particular movie. So even, spoiler alert, too, like, in the review to come, like, I'm going to hand the reins over to her as well, because, you know, I don't think my regular audience is the audience to go see this. But I will say, if you're a non-musical person, I don't know, your wife wants, if you're, you know, whoever, if your wife wants to drag you
your
along.
Your partner.
Yeah, watch it. I thought it was great. I thought it was very, very fun. Yeah.
You walked out saying, like, the visuals and all this. I think they try to use as minimal CGI throughout the whole thing, which was amazing. The train, that's real.
Oh, yeah, there's big practical sets.
Yeah, the tulips, there's a, like, what, 9 million tulips that were planted. Jesus. And stuff for that. And it's and the whole set where they did it was, like, a recording studio kind of set. Mm. So that was even more amazing.
I got you.
Yeah, because I don't want to look at anything anymore.
Going back real quick to Cynthia Erivo, her performance. You had mentioned she was in a harness, but I also saw that she was wearing a corset. And in an interview, she's talking about how typically, like, when you're singing, especially when you're on stage, you find your ground, like, literally, you curl your toes and you start from the bass. And whoever has sung, like, for real, knows that it isn't just like, la, 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 you're singing anywhere. There's a place where you find your breath and you drive it, you pull it from there. And so to be constricted in a harness and a corset and you're flying through the air. And by the way, if you watch the behind the scenes, like she's doing, you know, I fly drones, I call it a power loop. She's doing a power loop and then doing a barrel roll, like a quick barrel roll as she's belting out on key these fucking, this beautiful, powerful song. And having to find, you know, I think Ariana Grande said it. She goes, "Oh, you gotta find your breath in your boobs, in your chest,
in your tatas,
yeah, in your tatas." So she, you know, you have to find where the hell to even draw that from. Mm-hmm. This woman gave a shit about this role. I say a bunch every time it's a particular role or movie where the fans really care about it. When you hire the right people that care as much, if not even more, about that role, the people watching it, fans or not fans of the musical, are, like, you know, me, I don't know anything about it, it's going to resonate. You're going to see that, and you're going to appreciate the powerhouse that this performance was. And I'm going to continue to use the damn word powerhouse because there's nothing better to describe her role as Elphaba. And it made me want to go see more, or I'd rather revisit Cynthia Erivo movies.
Yeah, and not just the whole stunts, but like when those emotional scenes pop up, those emotional like emotions that they were like portraying, they were actually digging deep into like moments of their lives that were either connected to that, saying goodbye to people who they didn't get a chance to. So when it was like the Oz, was it Oz Dust scene where Elphaba walks in with the hat on and she's doing that dance and you can see that she's crying, like getting teary-eyed and stuff.
Chills.
They had, of course they have to do the walkthrough of everything, but they had to like not do it as much. So the last scene that we got was actual her emotions coming out. Not just that, but also from Ariana Grande, like those emotions of them, like having to connect these two actresses connected outside and even during this like thing. And it's just how even like now with all the press, instead of like having to like be separate and do separate interviews and stuff, they're like next to each other. They're like holding hands. They're like reassuring each other throughout the whole thing. And they're not just Elphaba and Galinda on screen, but off screen as well.
Chemistry is so powerful in this thing. In any role, chemistry is so powerful. So, and yeah, I've seen their interviews and the love that they have for one another. Because if I may, real quick, like, yes, its story is about Elphaba and it's, you know, kind of sort of her origin story, but there's so much layered into this, you know, your disabilities, how you're looked at, political status, you know, financial status. There's so many of that, like so perfectly intertwined and intermingled and layered in this movie, in this story. One of the interviewers in the interviews they sent me said, this movie, you know, for someone who felt like they were othered, and that when she said that, I kind of teared up because I was like, I feel othered all the time. Mm-hmm. And so for this movie to speak to that, you know, for someone who can't help who they are, whatever it may be, who feels othered in society, were the focus of this movie, someone who can't control who and what she is, just wants to find her place in the world and do right by people, you know, but yet get looked at for something she absolutely cannot help, how she looks and who she is. It's, and how it's done. So that scene you're talking about, I don't know the songs and everything like that, so they're new to me, so they have to grow on me, right?
Okay.
So I had to kind of anchor myself with the non-singing parts, so just like the emotional bits, and every moment, most moments where Cynthia Erivo is illustrating that emotion, where she's being, I guess the word I'm looking for is like vulnerable, you know, in that scene. It's the only part in the movie where like my eyes got hot and I started to tear up because I was like, I feel every bit of what she's putting out and what she's feeling just in the eyes. It's great. It's so damn good. That scene's my favorite scene.
Yeah, but not just everything. Like even from like the scenes where it was her childhood and like her, that one scene where they're making fun of her. His sister, Nessa Rose, was just kind of like screaming and she got blamed because the sister was screaming. Yeah. Not only that, but also she stood up for herself, and in the end she got scolded. Mm-hmm. Like, look what you did.
Oh,
basically.
Man.
And it's kind of like, even if like, from when she was little to all the way till the end of the part one, it was just something you can connect to, especially if you've gone through like similar things like that in school.
I was about to say trauma bonding too.
Yeah. How I see Galinda and Elphaba are like my extroverted and introverted self, but also as like the, I can be a Galinda and be like a, everyone likes me, this and that. But,
that's why your lighting and microphone are pink and green.
but it comes to the point where if I don't like something and I stand up for it, I'm okay to be the villain and be an Elphaba at that point, because I don't want to be the person who doesn't stand up for the little person. And that's just kind of like, I think why I like Wicked as it is, because it makes you... There's always like a part of you that you can see yourself in, whether you be like the interviewer said, like Galinda is my ADHD, Elphaba is my autistic self. Mm-hmm. For me, it's the opposite. Galinda is my extroverted self, where at home I can be Galinda. I could be bouncing off the walls here. And outside I'm Elphaba, to where it's like, I have to be tame. I have to, not tame, but like, you know, I'm like wary of everything, but I am okay to be called a villain. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have nothing to add on to that, because you said it so fucking perfectly, you know? Interesting and relatable take. Yeah. I think we all feel like that. Like, honestly, like, I think most people who are people that follow us, people that listen to us, a lot of our friends, I think, our friend Siham recently was like, I think sent me a meme that was like, you know, regular people are just boring, you know, like, it's not that you have to trauma bond over thing or trauma bond together, but you know, I'm not normal. That's my color and is green, but, I can't relate to normal people. You know, it's like being weird, quote unquote weird or whatever. And whatever they may be, whether it's like a childhood trauma thing, a life trauma, any kind of like mental disorders or whatever, like it's you know, you don't run through life smooth and you go through all your challenges and tribulations and you build your character from that, or rather it builds you and makes you so much more fun and creates this, it forces you to create this like perspective on life that kind of borders cynical, yet I don't know. I feel like I'm more grounded than most like normies, because I like my point of view on life for the most part.
Yeah. But going back to that, the Oz dust scene, when like she's dancing her, you know, because everyone before that is like dancing how you would kind of expect everyone to kind of dance, you know, set aside. But when she goes in there and she takes a stance for herself, I was just like, yeah, no, like that is exactly what I would do as myself. I would just do that. And now, but throughout the whole movie, I'm just like, I really regret not bringing any tissues.
I'm really curious if I'm going to like tear up more, on the second go around. I will say, cause again, this is all new to me. So what I kind of hate you that you didn't warn me about was the name of the university.
Shiz?
Nobody told me about that. I'm giggling like a fucking 12-year-old over there.
You told me to let you go in blind.
I know, but you could have told me that it was called Shiz to stifle it so I can get that all out beforehand. I was like, Shiz. Stupid Shiz. I'm 10. Hello.
So let's go ahead and continue with everything else. But now we're going to go move on to Fiero and Bach and Nessa Rose. And of course, Nessa Rose, she kind of doesn't, for me... She's not my favorite character at all.
You want to clarify that?
Instead of standing up for her sister and knowing that there are her dad just...
Her dad's a dick.
Yeah. And doesn't really stand up for her anyway.
Mm.
But I get it, because the reason she's in a wheelchair is because of Elphaba in a way. But it really isn't because, well, the wizard... But she's not my favorite, because as soon as Bach asked her to go to the Oz dust, and Galinda comes out of her mouth, and Elphaba's like, Galinda's just like, don't ruin this for me. And I'm just like, really? You gotta like, I'm like, it's not what it, like, just let it be. Just like, she's just trying to be the big sister that she is, trying to take care of you.
What's so interesting though about the two sisters, Nessa Rose and Elphaba, is, you know, they respectfully have their own disabilities, and the way that they go through life is vastly different. I wouldn't say Nessa wants to do stuff for herself, but yet she's a little too optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Elphaba's pessimistic, I suppose, but she's not completely blocked off. She has trust issues, mm-hmm. but she's not completely, as the movie plays out, she's not completely blocked off to any possibility of love or friendship or anything, but she is extremely hesitant. But she isn't hateful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the very surprising thing. She isn't hateful unless someone actually does something to warrant her, I wouldn't say hate, but, you know, her dismay,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when someone does wrong the smaller people, she is a voice to stand up for everyone else. Yeah. So, I mean, they're, again, you know, they're sisters, and she does love her sister, Nessa, but how they, this is a terrible word to use, but I can't think of it. Nessa's a little more selfish than Elphaba.
Yeah, but because she gets everything.
True.
Like, the only reason Elphaba is there is because the dad said, stay here and watch over your sister. Like, she can't take care of herself.
Yeah.
So she's kind of in a way, like, being overprotected, sheltered.
Yeah. Oh, very sheltered. Yeah. Sheltered.
Like, she can't do things for herself, even though she's able to do things. I feel like with her, she can't have her own mind, like, her own freedom without her sister following to make sure. And I feel like that's also part of, even now with, like, families who have like someone with a disability or anything, there's yeah. always, and if you're not like the eldest or whatever, or vice versa, you always have to watch out. And of course, it's beautiful when there's like that balance of you letting them do things independently and waiting for them to ask for help and kind of thing, and supporting them that they know that they can do it. And then there's the opposite where it's like toxic, where the parents are always like, you need to help them now.
Yeah, helicopter.
Yeah. So with like that, it's kind of like that, which also makes Nessa a certain way.
I think what spoke to me as far as them being brought up is the very sour truth that, like, in a family, in a household, even though everyone is blood, you have different parents.
Mm-hmm.
Not like physically, biologically different parents, but that you get raised differently.
A different version of.
And that's a sad, like, it hit me when I saw that played out. And it's like, for instance, you know, I'm the youngest of four, and, you know, it's a 10-year gap between the four of us, and we kind of sort of got different parents. We all view our parents differently.
Mm.
And I, this movie just spoke to me in so many fucking ways that, like, I, you know, it's playing out. And I'm like, oh, that's political. Oh, that's emotional. Mm-hmm. That's familial. That's physical disorders, that's mental disorders, and just all of these things where it, like, made my head spin in the best way, because I wanted to do this, what we do, and dissect it and appreciate it even more. This movie's impactful. This movie is for a lot of people. It ain't for normies, though, I'll tell you that much.
There's a little fun fact that I have. Jonathan Bailey, who played Fierro, mm-hmm. In one of the scenes, you see him riding in with a horse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so... for anyone who knows Jonathan Bailey or has watched Bridgerton, that horse in Bridgerton is the same one that is in Wicked. And there's that connection, which even makes it more interesting, because if you you see actors work with animals, mm. you can kind of, even on screen, tell, like, there's a hesitation from both of them.
Yeah.
But with this one, you really didn't feel that hesitation. You didn't see that hesitation. You didn't feel it. And I wondered why. It wasn't until later I had to look it up. But those two have worked together before, and it was amazing. And it showed a lot.
It allows for more flexibility and pushing boundaries of, like, what you can do. I guess in particular with, like, the animal, mm-hmm. and getting more of a vibrant performance from it.
Yeah.
Anything else about anyone else before we start rounding this off?
No. Wait. I have to ask.
Yes.
I think you already said your favorite song, but I just want to.
Favorite song?
Yes.
Okay. You like popular more than, You like Popular the most because you said it. You go, it's got the La La La's.
It does. I keep freaking catching myself just singing the La La La's throughout the whole thing.
Okay, so my problem with musicals a lot of the time, especially when they're not covers, is to me, a lot of musical songs sound musically, you know, as opposed to like there being, whatever, rhyming lyrics, like there's not a bridge sometimes or whatever, you know, but it just sounds like, oh, this would be in a musical, you know? So when that happens, I kind of get taken out of it a little bit. That is purely just a me thing. But performance-wise and the emotion built into it, it's obviously defying gravity. Again, chills thinking about it because I can picture Elphaba, Cynthia Erivo, just in that the way that shot is framed and with her cape billowing and the cinematography in this movie is fucking fantastic. Like it looked amazing. So major props to the director and whoever was DP on this thing. But not just that. Okay. So sorry, I'm dilly dallying, but defying gravity. But I want to talk about real quick before we round this out is musicals. You usually see it on a stage and the audience is facing one way. And they make it dynamic however they can make it dynamic. Now, you're making this into a movie, so how do you make it different? The camera movements is how you make it different. The camera is, like, sweeping through the crowd, and, you know, it's angling up from toe to head, and it's just making this world feel bigger. Like, it's already a large scope, but it's making it feel even more huge and very active. And that fucking song, how that whole thing is shot, her physical performance, like the fact that I know that she's literally being whipped around on wires and she's belting out this very important song. Mm-hmm. That song, goddammit. That song.
I also, okay, so a little backstory before we go ahead and close this off with everything. Besides watching Wicked, going back, I also watched it in Spanish. Because I did see a little bit of an interview of the actress that is doing Elphaba for the, dub?
Oh, my God. You showed me that?
Yeah. And
so good.
So I think the reason that I like the song Popular is how the Mexican actress, she just puts the energy. And then when you see Kristen Chenoweth as well with that energy, and then you see Ariana Grande just on screen, and you can tell she's like in a way channeling both of their energies, and that there, it just makes me enjoy that a little bit better.
Ariana Grande's Ariana Grande's performance felt a little more derivative or inspired by that one, the physicality wise. Mm-hmm. Over Chenoweth, but it's so good. It's a good amalgamation of all the things to be inspired from.
But I do say go see it.
Yeah. Are you playing the Rotten Tomatoes game or am I? You're guessing it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So fucking duh. We say go see the movie. If you haven't figured that out by now.
I don't think we've said one bad thing about this movie.
No, that's a good point. You know what? There isn't one bad thing that I can say about this movie. And this is just me from a moviegoer perspective, honestly. And I've already said, musicals ain't my main thing. I still enjoyed the absolute gobshite out of this. Okay, what do you give this movie as far as the RT score? From 0 to 100, 60 being fresh, what do you give it?
I want to give it a full 100, but I'm going to go ahead and give it a 98.
A 98, and what do you think critics rated it, and what do you think audience rated it?
I think critics rated it maybe like a 95, and audience maybe, I'm going to go with 98.
All right, so yours was what, 95?
98.
For your personal score?
Yes.
Critics gave it a 90%, and audience gave it a 97%.
Okay.
As it they absolutely should. That's right on point. I really do dare anybody to go see this movie and be like, it fucking sucked. I'm like, well, you don't know movies and you don't like music and you don't like feeling and being a person. Well, go eat a D. Damn it. Okay, so I prepped some questions for you because I wanted to hit you with some trivia. So give me a moment.
Let me pull this. I may not answer all these correctly. Oh, because
that's the whole point of trivia.
Because I get test anxiety.
It's true. It's a Wicked and a Wizard of Oz combo. So as I go through it, those in the chat, please shout out if you know these things. But
people on the live, you're gonna see my mind go blank instantly.
Welcome to another edition of YHST Trivia. Welcome our contestant, Elva Carmona. And the subject today is Wicked and Wizard of Oz. I'm an idiot.
I'm married to that idiot.
It's so shit. There it is. I didn't practice this shit. Shit, my bad. Okay. Let's start off nice and easy. So obviously this is based off of a book. Mm-hmm. What year did that book come out?
Oh man.
Give you 5 seconds.
1995.
Oh, you don't have your headphones on. You can hear the buzzer. 95. Can you tell me the full name of the book?
I cannot tell you the full name of the book because, as I said, my mind went blank.
All right. Full name of the book. So 1995, the full name of the book is Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West. Do you know who the author of The Wizard of Oz is? This is not like the trivia question, but do you know who the author is of The Wizard of Oz? Is it
Brahm? No.
Yeah.
L something Brahm?
L Frank Baum.
Yes. Like, at least I got some of it.
Now, Elphaba is an interesting name, isn't it?
Yes, because it comes from that.
His name.
Yeah.
It's the phonetic sounding out of his name, LFB, Elphaba.
Yeah, that's, yeah,
I knew that one. I was going to form it as a question, but you already knew that little fun fact. God damn it.
And you didn't form it as a question that you should have formed it as a question. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of Wicked trivia because I was like, oh, that's too deep. Okay, complete the lyric. No one mourns, they blank.
The Wicked?
Right. Little low ball one, easy.
You could also tell me when it came out, the play.
Okay. When did the play debut?
October 30th.
Year?
Oh, man. 2000. Three or six.
Yeah, you got three. Whatever.
Yes.
2003. October 30th, 2003.
Yes, I knew that much.
Do you know the right? Did I ask you who wrote the book?
Yes.
Okay. Gregory Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't really have a lot of Wicked ones because it's like for part one and I didn't want to be a dick. All right, so let's give you some Wizard of Oz questions.
I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Bye.
All right, what's Dorothy's last name?
I don't know Dorothy's last name.
Oh, dude, people are going to get mad at you. Gail.
Okay.
Don't look.
I'm not looking.
Don't look. Can you tell me the order that she meets the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion?
Can you just give me the order right now?
I guess you got that one right. More of a Freudian slip. That was just off the top of my head. I didn't write that one down, damn it. Okay, what words are missing from this famous Wizard of Oz declaration? Blank, blank, the witch is dead. This is easy.
The Wicked Witch is dead? No.
Blank, blank, the witch is dead.
Blank, blank, the witch is dead? Hold on, no. No.
Hey, wait, let me give you, you don't have your headphones on, damn it.
No.
Let me give me a hint. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Come on. See, that was a low ball one.
See, Ham's like, oh my God, Alva. I said I have test anxiety, guys.
Okay, how's your sense of direction?
It's horrible. You know, my left is my right, and my right's my left.
Glinda is the witch of the north, east, south, or west?
North?
Correct. There you go. Good job. And did she come down in a bubble? Was she a princess?
She wore a crown and she came down in a bubble, Doug. You're going to tell me that I'm wrong? Am I wrong?
What else? Okay, easy one. Don't look. Where did Dorothy come from?
Oh, God. Ow. It's not in Kansas anymore. Ah.
Come on. Oh, here's one that was actually fun to find out. There are two colored brick roads in Munchkin Land. What are they?
Yellow? No, it's not white, right? No. It's not green either, is it?
Yellow and red.
Oh, red, come on.
We never discovered whether red. I never read the books, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Who exposes a wizard for the fraud that he is by pulling back on his curtain?
Is this still the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, they didn't do this in Wicked.
I'm gonna go with Seaham Toto.
Seaham, damn it. All right, yes. Toto. A little. All right, the Wizard's hot air balloon had a particular city's name printed on it at the end of the movie. What city was it?
It was an Emerald City.
It was an actual city because he came down in a balloon.
Came down in a bubble. I don't know.
Omaha.
Omaha. Get out of town.
You know what? I'm going to end it with this one. Oh, no. You know, wait. Two more. Okay.
Okay.
Which of these songs was reportedly nearly cut from The Wizard of Oz? If I Only Had a Brain, We're Off to See the Wizard, Over the Rainbow, or Follow the Yellow Brick Road?
Reportedly cut off? Like almost...
Reportedly nearly cut from The Wizard of Oz.
Is it If I Brain?
Over the Rainbow was nearly removed from the movie.
That's bull crap.
I love that song too. Okay, let's end it with this one. Oops, hit the wrong button. The Wizard of Oz gives us this great movie line. Quote, a heart is not judged by how much you love. Can you finish the line?
I cannot finish the line. I am not much of a Wizard of Oz quoting thing.
The full quote is, a heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others. Sounds like a popularity thing, and like the message can get a little bit mixed up, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you really don't know your Wizard of Oz, huh?
No, I don't. It's not one that I watch Wizard of Oz, but it's not something that like I would retain.
Well, that does it for another edition of You Haven't Seen That Trivia. Alva failed miserably, but who's going to be up next on the contestant board? It's probably going to be me, and she's going to fucking throw some hardballs at me.
Damn right I
am. But by how much you were loved. Oh, boy. All right, let's wrap this shiz up.
See, we can't get told anything now.
What?
Because you're using shiz.
Yeah, see? I didn't say that anymore. Okay, let's wrap this up.
My God.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for following. Again, if you just got to the very end, and for whatever reason you didn't hear the beginning where I told you that you can stream us live, where, Alva?
On FOREHED Films on Instagram and TikTok.
And that spells out Forehead Films, where we give at least like a 24 to 48 hour notification. So, you know, hit the notification bell and follow along with us to see when we're going to do our next live stream. We've been doing these consistently live about like every Sunday, but we had some back-to-back ones. We did Gladiator Saturday morning, which was an odd one, but scheduling permitted it. And then we did this one. We're doing this on a Monday. Made it fun, you know,
it was really
in the
fun,
evening.
Yeah.
So we usually do these in like 8 o'clock in the evening. So stay tuned for all those things. Again, if you haven't seen Wicked, go see it. We're going to try to get tickets to go see it at the Pantages. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll make that happen. Thank you, everybody. I will catch you guys next time at the time of this recording. I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening to this in the future, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And stay tuned for future episodes to come. And in the meantime, let us know what movies are on your growing list of films that has people asking you the question.
You haven't seen that?
Later, folks.
Okay, bye.